Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
And excitement yesterday as WikiLeaks, the website, released what everyone had been sort of bracing themselves for, information and dirt coming out on governments. And someone who has been researching and studying the manuscripts busily is Selwyn Manning, co-editor from scoop.co.nz. Good morning, Selwyn.
Yeah, good morning, Spanky.
Nice to have you with us. Now, before we get into what actually came out on WikiLeaks, tell me, what is WikiLeaks? It's based in Iceland, right?
Yeah, it's an organisation behind a website, basically, that takes official documentation from all around the globe, you know, governments, all over the place. Most of the information is classified information, but it also includes other kind of documents and things that might have fallen, you know, out of the public eye, that people aren't aware of. So what it does in its essence is it speaks up to its brand. You know, it leaks things out. We've never seen really a phenomenon like this globally before. And we know from, you know, recent times that there were all the memos relating to, you know, defense and classified information and memos relating to both the Iraq conflict and also Afghanistan, Spanky. So, you know, all of those mainly were impacting on the United States' interests.
And so government, hard for them to shut them down because they're elusive, they're like smoke. And is Iceland a particular haven for some reason?
Well, I wouldn't kind of, you know, while it's highly represented by Nordic countries and things like this, I wouldn't kind of just look at it from a point of view of a state. This thing is a global phenomenon. You know, this, if the servers delivering such documents, for example, were solely in Iceland and not actually replicated around the globe, then it would be easy enough for, you know, a cyber strike to basically take those servers out. And anybody could basically have a go at that. Any powerful state could have a go at that, that considered the information sensitive. So, you know, just like with Scoop, you know, we have backup servers in different places to actually minimise the risk. Say, we obviously aren't doing things to the extreme that WikiLeaks were, but if we had stuff that was sensitive, that's actually protected data. So I wouldn't just focus on Iceland. I would kind of look at this as a global phenomenon.
So these leaks that have just come out, they've been... WikiLeaks let people know that they were expecting to have them come out because governments have been bracing themselves and they haven't been sure what's in them. What have we discovered? It's a huge file of text files, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a huge, huge amount. There's over 250,000 documents. Many of those documents are classified, like we mentioned before. Some of them are not. Some of them are basically memos between the diplomatic corps of the United States at its embassies and trade consulates and high commissions all around the world with Washington and also amongst various embassies. So while in the past the WikiLeaks, the most important ones that had been leaked, were relating to the United States' war efforts, this particular wave of leaks is very much in that diplomatic area, and it really does connect a few dots that we have always suspected in recent times. You know, when I say recent times, I mean over the last 10 years, that the diplomatic corps of all nations is active in intelligence gathering in states and economies and countries all over the globe. This particular leak confirms that. What we see is the United States, for example, has used its diplomats as basically, you know, official spooks, if you like, gathering information on not just the nature of a country, not just its policies and its foreign policies, but the actual mood inside the countries. You know, where's that public sphere pushing the tide of opinion, you know, that type of thing. It's also lifted the lid on the fact that most embassies around the world, you know, that represent the United States, most U.S. embassies around the world have CIA people in there in some capacity. Now, we knew, if we look back in history, you know, we knew that during the Cold War, the KGB did this, the CIA did it, the FBI did it, where they had people in the embassies all over the world, particularly amongst each other. And we know that the KGB basically always would have someone, you know, might be in the sense of a cultural attaché, you know, is often the case, and they would be basically doing what the United States has been found to be doing, Spanky.
So in the past, especially our Waihopi base has played a role in some of this intelligence gathering. Does New Zealand pop up other than the fact that we're quite excited that Helen Clark's credit card might have been looked at and she used to be the Prime Minister of New Zealand, or is that all that we've really got on New Zealand?
No, there's quite a lot there, actually. It's between 1,400 and 1,600 documents have, are to be yet released on New Zealand's part in this. And so it's the United States diplomat sending messages back to Washington, as our Prime Minister John Key said, back to the mothership.
Yeah.
You know, and what we can see certain abbreviations at this stage. WikiLeaks is leaking out stuff, obviously, by way of importance. So the most important pieces, you know, Iraq, for example, cables relating to Iraq, they've been out in the first wave, thousands, about 16,000 of those. With New Zealand, you know, it's around about 1,400 to 1,600 of them. And we know that by the abbreviations that have been leaked, as opposed to the documents yet on New Zealand, that, you know, there are things relating to the military effort in Afghanistan. We can tell by the abbreviations that there is reference to terrorism and terrorists. Now, there's also references that come through that we can see tie in with different elections, for example, around the 2008 election, that would be given that, you know, cables would be going back to the United States, back to Washington, that would give an evaluation of the incoming government. It would be like a briefing paper, you know, of an introduction and, of and who these people are. And that's what we got. With the terrorist pieces, that looks like it coincides, for example, well, not all of them, but some of them coincide with when the Zowie case was hot here.
So,
you know, that kind of thing.
At this, Owen, it's embarrassing for especially the American government, I guess. But at worst, what are the implications? Because it's hard to know, because the government's hammered up and say this is, I know Americans attacked WikiLeaks as being unpatriotic, which I'm sure they're not that concerned about. But the possibility of it causing deaths in countries where it is a bit dangerous, and they're you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, places like that, is that a real issue? And how much does New Zealand have to worry about?
Well, it's yet to be seen if New Zealand has to worry about too much there. It might be more that it's got to actually suffer a few blows to the face of embarrassment, you know. But overseas, you know, there's been this argument that goes back for an age, really, that where an intelligence operative has been exposed or a group of them is exposed, then it brings risk to those individuals, obviously. And some of the countries, you know, they're fairly hard-nosed regimes, and they've obviously got an anti-United States bent. If it knows that the diplomatic corps in an embassy has actually been trawling around its country and actually sending back evaluations on its, you know, most powerful leaders, well, then, you know, goes as read that they're not going to take that very favourably. So it does damage the United States' efforts, perhaps not in protecting the individuals, but the actual mission that has been going on and gathering that information.
But how surprised would those countries really be that's happening?
Probably not that surprised. I mean, you know, we know, for example, that there were at least two CIA people planted in the American embassy in Wellington. We know that because the New York Times reported that, you know, over about a year ago, about this time last year, when it was going through all of this. But the most embarrassing thing for the United States, and probably the most concerning thing in a serious sense, is it's spying on the United Nations apparatus, really, from the Secretary General right down through all the tops of the divisions and departments, including Helen Clark, obviously. You know, she's in one of its biggest areas. But right down into the nitty gritty, you know, ear points, you know, flying card things, you know, even down to the numbers of that, you can only guess why, probably to try and help keep a track on where the ear points are kind of being gathered from. But, you know, and down to the commanders of the peace missions around the world. So, you know, the degree of infiltration of the United Nations, which in some ways hasn't really been exposed since Khrushchev's time, you know, of the KGB basically wiring people, having people under surveillance. Now we know, as fact, that the Americans have been doing just that for God knows how long.
So, nice talking. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll catch up with you later on.
Okay, mate. See you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Selwyn Manning, co-editor from scoop.co.nz, talking about the WikiLeaks leak that just came out yesterday, exposing all sorts of interesting things.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.